Just take 30 seconds of the Lord's time to give him an answer from your heart. Just take 30 seconds to offer him your answer. Because all he really wants from you is yes. I mean, if you can just say yes, that's really all that matters right now, is can you say yes? No matter what you've said before, can you, not your husband, not your wife, not for your children, but for you, can you say yes? That's all he requires. God doesn't say you have to be better than anybody else. God doesn't say you have to do it like anybody else. Just can you say yes? That's all he wants. God's not trying to rob you of your sanity. God's not trying to take your recreation. God's not trying to make you give back the cars, the house, the money. Just can you say to him, not to the pastor, not to the deacon, not to the elder, the overseer, but can you say to him yes? I chose that song today. I wanted to hear it. I wanted to use it. It's an introduction to the preaching moment. We've been talking about getting better. We've been talking about being greater, going farther. But none of that's going to happen until you can say yes. Some of y'all have tried everything you know how. You've tried to manage, manipulate, redirect. You tried to get a better job. You tried to get longer hair. You tried to get a better hookup. But none of that was going to work ever. It was never going to work like that. All you had to do, and all you have to do in this moment, last Sunday we preached about your next begins now, but in this moment all you got to do is say yes. Unconditional yes. Don't say yes if, yes when, yes maybe, but just yes. Not to me, not to the ministers, not to the deacons, not to, just lift your eyes to the hills from which cometh your help, knowing that your help cometh from the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth, your redeemer, your emancipator, your salvation, the one that saved you, lifted you out of the darkness and put you in the marvelous light, took all your sins away, washed you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, forgave you of your sins. All he wants from you is yes. I know your 30 seconds have expired, and I just pray you could say to him yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, look on us. Peter and John said to that man that the gospel revolves, evolves, and is stationed simply in Christ Jesus. It was never the silver nor the gold. It was never the prestige or the prominence. But they said to him, we don't have anything to offer you but the man that we said yes to. We offer you Christ. And so, Father, again on this day, would you allow us to see you? Those men from Greece looked at Andrew and said to him, sir, we would see Jesus. They didn't mean to disrespect Andrew. They weren't being snobbish. They were not being irreverent. But they wanted to get to the source while the source was near. Sir, we would see Jesus. God, show yourself again in this place today. That their eyes would not be fixed upon me, but that they would see Jesus. God, would you mute my voice, that your voice would ring and your voice alone. Rain down on their ears, rain down on their hearts. Oh God, would you be a storm in their life? Just fill them. Feed them. Please, God. We are in dry places. We are desperate and destitute. For all things have failed. We need Christ. Grandmother used to say that can't nobody do you like Jesus. He's a fixer. So God, today would you fix it for us? Fix it like nobody can. You are our very present help. We find ourselves in trouble, find ourselves alone and idle. Sir, would you come see about us? You declared that you'd never leave us and you wouldn't forsake us. We pray, God, to hold you to that truth. And so, God, today, save somebody. Save us. In the name of Jesus. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Come on, put your hands together and give God some praise. It's enough of you in here to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. Don't let nobody outpraise you. Don't let nobody love him more than you love him. But if you can just love on him just a little while longer, maybe you're not a praise a clapper. Maybe you just want to wave at him. But come on and bless the Lord. David declared, I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you sound better when you praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. God be the glory. Grab your Bibles very quickly. We appreciate you today. God bless you. Again, we're so thankful that the Lord has brought Brother Melvin back to us. His strength is coming, and it's good to see him. I like it when folk that were sick or are remaining sick yet press their way into the house of the Lord. Amen. As my mama used to say, you better go while you can, because the day is coming. Amen. Good to see him. He is indeed a warrior of the highest honor. So we thank God for him today. Again, to all of our guests, I see we have some guests. We're glad you came by today. We thank God for you. Thank God for our ministry of transportation, picking up our kids earlier and getting the young folk to church. And we thank God for those of you who thought it not robbery. In spite of the rain, you decided you're going to go to church because you do know you weren't going to melt. And even if your hair got nappy, you can comb it out later. But God is good. Amen. Amen. So, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, again, we're asking you to join us in reverence to the Word of God, just to stand for a moment, and trust me, and you'll be sitting down most directly. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I have a New Living Translation Bible, and pray that you'll follow us with what you have, and your smartphones, the tablets, or other instruments of opportunity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, you'll come down to verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 at verse 12. The New Living Translation, we catch Paul in the midst of a conversation and we catch the word well in the New Living Translation. He says, well, when I came to the city of Troas to preach the good news of Christ, the Lord gave me tremendous opportunities. God bless you. You may be seated. The presence of the Lord. It is our intention. God bless you, ushers. Thank you so very much. We appreciate you today. And you may be seated with your family or wherever you choose to sit. Again, thank you to all of our guests who have come. Thank you for those who are faithful. Thank you. You cannot imagine what it means to stand here and look out and see you. And so, God, we thank you every day for your children, and we pray, God, that you will thank him for those who are around you, stationed near you to worship with you. And pray, God, that you will indeed worship the Lord as he requires in spirit and in truth. Catch Paul again in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He is in the midst of a conversation that actually began with chapter 1 of the 2 Corinthian letter. It begins when Paul's conversation is rather lengthy as he's talking about somewhat in a form of testimony, but also in the form of challenge. And he speaks to the people at Corinth about his experience. The fact of the matter is all of us have experience. All of us that have lived long enough to recall the bumps and the bruises, the challenges, the triumphs, the failures have an experience. Paul is in the midst of talking about some things that he believes are necessary to the building and the sustaining of the church. So he gets to this particular point and he says, well, when I came to the city of Troas, in fact, brothers and sisters, elect of God, we may not realize that Paul's initial intent was to go to Troas that he might meet up with his compatriot Titus. He comes there, and you would find later as you read on that he could not find him. It was frustrating to him initially that he could not find him. But yet, how many know that even when you meet with frustration, you've got to be faithful? So Paul says, when I came to preach the good news of Christ, the Lord gave me tremendous opportunities. Here it is, brothers and sisters. I want to talk to you for a little while, if this subject will resonate with you, about engaging opportunities and overcoming obstacles. Engaging opportunities and overcoming obstacles. I asked Sister Elizabeth in the Christian Academy to name the song. I could not remember exactly what the name of the song was, but it was in my spirit as I was working on this about a week and a half ago. And really what God is requiring of us is a simple matter of saying yes. You cannot suggest to the world that you are a servant of God and you have not simply said yes. I will tell you now that the word of God is absolute and true. The Bible tells us that Paul is on a missionary journey. Paul has arrived in a place with an expectation of one thing, but yet he begins to experience another. I believe most of you can kind of see yourself right there. Many of you have started out engaging with an expectation of one thing, but yet when you arrive, your experience becomes something other. Many of you right now have landed in places or have decided to pitch your tent in places, build your altars in places, that in your dreams, that's not where you want it to be, but it's where you are now. And since you're there, you've decided you're going to make the best of it. There's a song that they sang, Jess Knows, in the ministry of music that I'm always engaged upon. But there's a line in the song that says, you've just got to learn to make the best of a bad situation. And so here it is. Paul is in not really a bad situation, but it is not quite going the way he planned it. Let me see if I can get some of you to wake up and stir yourselves. Can you just lift your hand and wave to me as a testimony that you have had some things in your life that have not gone quite like you planned them? Amen. So I expect the amens to come more frequently here. Here it is that Paul says to us, well, and most of us know that when you throw a well in, it's because something in the dynamic has changed. If you say, well, it means that either you're exasperated, excited, or your energy levels are just about to change. Most of us know that when somebody says, well, it's about to go down. And so here it is. Paul says, well, when I came here, things start changing. When I came here, I really wanted to hook up with Titus and do a little preaching. We were going to run a little revival in Troas and see if we can make some things happen. But I couldn't find him. But since I couldn't find him, I still saw an opportunity to do something for the kingdom. As I said to you before, brothers and sisters, it's an engaging opportunity, but you've got to learn to overcome your obstacles. And here's a subtle twist that often gets me, Melvin, in life. It's one of those strange ironies, if you will, how life has a way of throwing both darts and cupcakes. I know you had to get that in your mind. That's a stretch of the imagination. Darts and cupcakes. Cupcakes are good. You can catch a cupcake, eat a cupcake, you're doing fine. Darts we tend to try to avoid, but that's how life is. It throws both darts and cupcakes. So the sure enough thing, here it is. The sure enough thing is, watch this now. This is the cupcake. The sure enough thing is that God says our steps are ordered by the Lord. The sure enough thing is that God says he'll bless us coming in and going out. The sure enough thing is that God says he'll put a hedge of protection round about us. The sure enough thing is that God says he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour us out blessing. That's the sure enough thing. The irony is, in all that God is doing, sometimes bad stuff can happen. Amen. There's an adage that simply said that our blessings can soon become our burdens. Amen. So Paul says, I'm in this city now, and here's a shown up blessing, dripping with the hand of God. There's a shown up opportunity, a surefire opportunity that we can bind up the enemy and build up the church in Troas. This thing is going to work. I know it's going to work. Why? Because I've done it before. This is the second Corinthian letter, not the first one. So it says, I've got experience. I know how to do this. How many of you can testify with me, just wave back at me, that the thing you know how to do don't always go like it ought to go? I mean, I'm good at this. This is my thing. I know I can do this. I went to school for it. I matriculated. I managed. I learned. I put my money in this thing. I gave it my time. I gave it my all. I poured my heart in it. But every now and then, that which you are good at can betray you. It can mess you up. And so Paul says, I'm here. It's a blessing of God. It's a surefire opportunity. We got a triumph here. But how many know that that subtle twist always comes in? The shown up blessing of God, a surefire opportunity for triumph, can shortly turn into an unthinkable amount of trouble. The very thing that we were doing so well one time is the very thing that got us in a mess right now. And here it is. Often that's how it is. We can go into a situation with an engaging plan. We've dotted the I's and crossed the T's, but in just a little while, it can turn into trouble. Bible shows us time and time again that Jesus goes into several places and goes in with the intention to minister to the place. And the Bible says that even on one occasion, it got so bad, he couldn't do miracles. You know, it's a real bad day when Jesus can't do miracles. Not because he wasn't Jesus, not because he didn't try, not because everything was against him, but the Bible said that faith has something to do with every operational procedure that comes down from heaven. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, it's your faith. Yeah. So here it is. He goes in and oftentimes, as it happens in the Christian life, we can go to situations and the disappointment can be devastating. Let me give you some quick examples here. We'll run along quickly, Eric. The fact of the matter is, let's go back. We just came out of resurrection celebration only a few weeks ago. You remember the women when they went to the tomb? They're disgusted. They're dismayed. They're carrying a pound of disappointment. And when they get there, what was initially a burdensome trouble turns into a triumphant victory. Because when they get there, he has risen. Amen. Let me show you another situation, brothers and sisters, beloved of God. We can look at Paul's own life. In Paul's life, in this particular instance, he goes out with the intention to do a revival, to help a city. And yet when he gets there, he can't find his boy. Amen. Anybody know what it's like not to be able to find your homie, not to be able to find your girl, not to be able to find your pew partner, your praying partner, your hookup buddy? And Paul said, man, this thing ain't going like I thought it would. But look what he does anyhow. Rather than fold up his tent and walk away in disgust, he seizes the opportunity to do a work for the Lord. Amen. Look at your name. Tell him, even in a bad thing, you can get a blessing. Yeah. Yeah. He comes and he preaches the gospel. It's the Romans 8 clause. The Romans 8 clause says this, Sister McKenzie, and this we do know, that all things work together God causes. Now, don't miss that part in the New Living Translation. That's how it's written, Sister Ashley. The Bible says, and God causes all things. Tell your neighbor, he got this. No, y'all ain't talking to each other. He got this. God causes. Some of you have gotten frustrated because you've tried everything you know how. You have called every friend you know how to call. You threw out your lifeline. You use your last friend. You did everything you knew how to do, but you forgot that the formula of faith is that God causes. I can tell y'all missing that because you should have shouted right there. The reason you are where you are in the shape you are now, not dead, you may not be rich, you may not be healthy, you may not be handsome, you may not have everything you think you ought to have, but I'm telling you now that the reason you can still hear my voice, see my face, and feel the atmosphere is because God causes. God, listen, some of the stuff that you're frustrated with, some of the stuff that you want to throw your hands up and cuss about is working for your good. The layoff, the shutdown, the firing, the rehiring, the disposition, the whatever they did, you got to go home every night, pick up Romans 8:28 and say, God causes. Joseph understood it. Joseph said, listen, that which you meant for evil, God causes. Every time we're faced with trouble, don't give the devil no credit. Just remember, all things are working. Yeah, it's working. And when it stops working, that means he ain't God. And how many know he's God from everlasting to everlasting? Nudge your neighbor and say, I got another thought now. God causes all things. God causes. Watch this now. And the key is that the Bible says, for in advance he knew. You can't surprise God. In advance, he knew. I understand David better now. In advance, God knew. Some of you have arrived at places in your life and you're wondering if God is there. No, in advance, he knew. Some of you are sitting there now like little Sally Walker crying to the east and crying to the west, but in advance, he knew. Yeah. You're wondering why they passed you over. You're wondering why they don't come by your desk like they used to. You're wondering why he left or she left. You're wondering why the kids are crazy. You're wondering why in advance. He knew. And because he knew, how many know he'll do something about it? Yeah. God never ignores your situation. Didn't Campbell? Paul declared this. Watch this now. If you read a little further and get down to verse 16, Paul says this. Who is sufficient for these things? What Paul is saying is, who can handle this? Amen. Look at your name and tell them, Olivia Pope is a fixer. But God can handle all things. Amen. Yeah, I was watching Scandal the other night, and that little Russian man, you know, talking all that trash, and Olivia looked at him and said, I'm a fixer. He was talking about what the problem was, and she said, no, you didn't hear me. I'm a fixer. I make things happen. That's what I do. That's who I am. I am Olivia Pope. I'm a fixer. And I said to myself, you better watch yourself. Didn't turn out so well. The poor Russian lady and her grandchildren got killed. Amen. But the Lord, Paul says, come on back to church. Paul says, who is sufficient for these things? God is. God is, God, our sufficiency is not in our money. It's not in our degrees, lauda and cum laude. It's not in our reputation. It's not in our smarts. Our sufficiency is in God. That's why he said, I can do all things through Christ. Some of you all have used that as a testimony, but you left off the important part. It's through Christ. Never would have made it out here. It's through Christ. So I thought I'd get a shout right there. I put a note here. Ought to be a shout. We understand now, as old folks said better by and by, that all of our sufficiency, our spiritual needs, our material needs, our physical needs are covered in Christ Jesus. So somebody ought to look at somebody and say, God did it. God did it. Yeah, everything in my life, God did it.
I used to smoke like a freight train. I used to drink too much. I snorted too much. But I'm still alive because my sufficiency is in Christ Jesus. God did it. Listen, I stayed out too late, went too far, didn't get home in time, but God did it.
Some of y'all didn't hear me. I wasn't talking about me when I said all that other stuff. I was talking about what I heard about some of y'all. Not me. I didn't drink too much, didn't stay out late, got home early. You know, before the streetlights came on, I was positioned on my knees in prayer. I was talking about y'all. Some of y'all, when I started saying that, y'all went to looking at me kind of cross. No. Look at the name and say, he was talking about us. Yeah. God did it. Our material needs, our physical needs, our spiritual needs. Listen, you got to learn that when you are engaging in opportunities, you've got to always be ready to overcome the obstacles. Not to another name and tell me, it ain't easy. No, here it is. Joseph, Daniel, I'm going to use them. Very quickly, and I'm going on home. Joseph proves to us, beloved of God, that trials can be triumphs. But the greater the trial, the greater the triumph. Can I help you? I know, Sister Woodson, I'm going to make some folk mad here. Senior Sister Woodson. But I'm going to make some folk mad when I say this. But some of y'all been trying to get too many easy wins. Yeah. Y'all don't like me now. Some of y'all been trying to get by with too many easy wins. But if you're going to ever prove yourself a soldier for God, it's the hard stuff. Boy, I ain't getting no amens, Darren. I need some help. It's the hard stuff. Paul told Timothy, you got to endure hardness. Tashim, they quiet now. No, nobody like that. No, all y'all want to come out smelling like cotton candy, walking around on sugary loafers. Yeah, you want to come out with roses and petals and trophies. No scars, no bruises, no tears. No, you want to always be on top, trying to get the easy win. No. There are obstacles in every opportunity. The Lord says that it's going to be a dry season. The Lord said that there's going to be a famine. There's going to come a day when it's going to be hard to find bread. Too many of y'all trying to get easy wins. Oh, yeah, you've always had it. Everybody been pushing you and folk been protecting you and shielding you and you don't know what it is to cry, want for nothing, because somebody always want to pay for it, and somebody always want to stand in the gap, and somebody always want to be a bridge over your troubled water. But I'm telling you today, you got to learn how to overcome some obstacles. People that walked away from the church, D.D., they mad because the Lord didn't give them everything. Some of us need to give back some stuff. Because good as he been, we ain't got no better. The amen goes right there. He said, listen, I know what it's like. Because obstacles come. Joseph helps us understand. David helps us understand. Daniel helps us understand. Daniel said, listen, I didn't ask for them to take me to Babylon. I didn't ask them to put me in the palace. I didn't ask for this. Bible proved that he was faithful because the Bible said that when the king sent for him, he said, get the best of them. Yeah. Look at the name and say, you wouldn't have to worry about going, eh? They left you. You ain't the best. Get the best of them. He said, bring me them boys who know how to eat right and pray right and serve God with integrity. Don't bring me no scrubs. Don't bring me no folk looking for the easy way. Bring me those who are tried, tested, and true to God. Some of us ain't gonna ever have to worry about getting picked. But Daniel helps us understand something. Oh, I'm here. But the same God that I love back there, that same God I love right here. The same God that I pray to three times a day in freedom, I'm gonna pray to him in bondage. The same God I prayed to when I had a Bentley, I'm going to pray when I got a Volkswagen. The same God I prayed when I had a lot of square foot, I'll pray to in a tent.
The same God I blessed when I had money running out my pocket, I'm going to bless when I pick up my EBT card. The same God I bless. Same God. Nudge your neighbor, tell them you've been too far to turn and change gods. Yeah, tell them all of you, you've been too far to turn and change gods. I ain't going to church no more. I ain't going to praise him no more. What's wrong? Are you crazy? After all you've been through, all of the opportunities, all of the obstacles, all of the hurdles, and you're going to quit now? The devil is a lie. Joseph helps us understand that God is faithful. Joseph was a dreamer, looking back at all that was to come. Joseph told them by testimony, he gave them a little bragging too. Sounded like he was kind of, you know, beside himself. He said, oh, there's going to come a day when, based on the dream I had, how many of y'all have had them wonderful dreams? Woke up looking for money. You dream, you had a, you know. Joseph said, listen, I had a dream. And told them that the day was coming when y'all would bow before me. The day was coming when I'd be large and in charge. The day was coming. And if you look at Joseph at particular places in his life, there'd be some folks saying, yeah, what happened, Joseph? Any of y'all ever had that happen to you? You broadcast your dreams. You told folk how wonderful it was going to be. You told them what you wanted to be. And because it was delayed but not denied, folks say, oh, yeah, I thought you was going to be Miss so-and-so and Mr. so-and-so. Look at you now. You still live in Lynchburg. But can I tell you something? Living in Lynchburg is not a disqualification, because the same God that's in New York City is in Lynchburg, Virginia. And the same great thing I could have done for God in Tupelo, I can do for God in One Below. You do understand that Joseph proves that there are moments in our lives when grief cannot overrule God's glory. Y'all missed that. Some of y'all, you know, you were on the glory gravy trail. God was using you, setting you up, lifting you up high, and now you're sitting in a prison and all you got is remembrance of what might have been or what should have been. How many of you ever said to yourself or even said to somebody, it ain't supposed to be like this? Amen. Thank you. Two of y'all are honest enough to admit it. But Joseph helps us to understand. David helps us. Daniel helps us. Paul helps us to know that there's always an opportunity. And some of you are in that place now, and I don't want to preach my own testimony, but some of us know what it's like to wake up every morning and say to ourselves, this ain't right. Some of us know what it's like to know that we have given God everything we promised to give him. We have done everything we promised to do, and yet we look around and say, this ain't right. Some of us know what it's like, and I'm trying not to get in my own system here, but I'm telling you now, some of us know what it's like when what we see ain't what we say it. But God is faithful. God helps us because he causes things. And all the while, beloved of God, you got to realize that sometimes your realities get raggedy. Sometimes your dreams become devastated. Sometimes your friends will flake out on you. But always remember that God causes. Every promise that God ever made you shall come to pass. I believe the writer helps us, Audrey, when he said that weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning. Every now and then you have to recognize that it does not always look like what it is, and it is not always what it is that it looks like. And so Joseph said, let me help you get on home now, because the irony of being faithful can sometimes be frustrating. And here it is, Sister Laura, that I want to make my point, because some of you have declared your undying faithfulness to God. And you're saying to God, Lord, I did everything you asked me to do. I stood fast when others departed. I prayed when others wouldn't pray. I gave my tithe and then above when others didn't give. And I'm frustrated. Because God, I'm just like Asaph. I looked around and saw the prosperity of the wicked. And I couldn't understand how they could be so blessed. I couldn't understand how they could always get the job that I wanted, how they could drive what I wanted to drive and live where I wanted to live. I don't understand, God, how they were always healthy and their hair didn't fall out and their nails didn't break. I don't understand, God, how their feet didn't hurt and their back wasn't aching. I've been faithful. God, they don't even come to church every Sunday. They don't even give a tithe. They don't even sing on the choir. They don't even volunteer for ministry. And I've been faithful. Now, I don't understand how it is that folk that don't treat you right seem to always be on top. Joseph said, Lord, I've been faithful. I sat in that prison. I didn't bother nobody. And that man came and asked me about a revelation, asked me about a dream. And I told him what you said. I told the chief butler that the day was going to come when things were going to go one way. And I told the baker that the day was going to come when things would go yet another way. And I asked him, Lord, that whenever things get better for you, please get me out of this house. What Joseph was saying to him is, listen, man, I've been fair with you. I've been honest, and I told you what God said. But how many know that if you read the story carefully, you will discover that Joseph could see more for other folk. God, I feel my help coming. Than he could see for himself. Eric, what I'm saying is sometimes God will show you the blessings of others, but deny you even a glimpse of your own departure. Sometimes God will allow you to be a blessing in other folk's life. Some of y'all know where I'm going with this. You've helped other folk pay their bills, and you've helped other folk children. You've helped them raise their children. You kept other folk marriage together. You kept other folk out of situation, but look like you can't catch a break. Some of y'all know what it's like to have been so faithful to God that you were the only three in Bible study. You were the only two in the prayer meeting. You were the only one that rose up when other folks sit down. You were the only one kept marching when other folk protested. And you can't figure out for the life why you got so many obstacles. And you're frustrated. And you're saying to God, this ain't right. After all I've done, this ain't right. But I'm getting ready to leave you alone here. But I got good news. It ain't what it looks like. Don't listen. The Bible reminds us when the man of God stood there, Elijah and his servant, he says to him, he says, son, you don't see it. What you're looking at is overwhelming. You see a great army coming, but what you don't see is what God is doing in the backdrop. Some of y'all remember the Wizard of Oz, and I'll leave you alone, Tashin, but some of y'all remember in the Wizard of Oz when they went into the place called Oz the first time. They go in, and there's this big image of a snarling, mean, grumpy old man roaring and growling at them, and so much so that Toto gets scared, and Toto runs off to the side, but in the backdrop. Yeah, tell your neighbor, it's in the backdrop. In the backdrop, Toto runs over, and Dorothy notices that Toto is missing. Looking around for Toto, watch this now. Sometimes you got to take your eyes off of what scares you and look for what's been sticking by you. Y'all missed that. Toto has been faithful all them years, and Dorothy is scared now, so she's looking for her standby. She's looking for her ace. She's looking for her old reliable. And in looking for her old reliable, she finds out that what you see up here is being manipulated by somebody back there. You got to remember, beloved of God, that the devil is busy. And the God that loves you and cares for you is not going to let the devil mess with the controls, but for so long. Every now and then, you got to pull back the curtain on the devil's scheme. You got to pull back the curtain on the lies and the tricks of the devil. And you got to remember that God is faithful. No matter what you're going through, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how disappointed you are, God is faithful. I know I'm right about it. God is faithful because he loves you. I said he loves you, and you ought to know that when God loves you, that's good. Not only does God love you, but he won't leave you. I know you feel like you're in a faraway place. You're in a strange situation you've never been in before. But he loves you. And he won't leave you. And because he loves you and he won't leave you, he's going to lead you out. You got to remember, beloved of God, that David put it this way. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores things. He builds up things. And David said, yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Look at your name and say, I'm all right now. Because I know God is faithful. And two things alone that you've got to always remember, and that is that God will deliver you and God won't deny you. I believe I ought to say that again, Sister David. I say God will deliver you and God won't deny you. That's why some of us, beloved of God, are still yet alive, because your deliverance has not yet come and he has not denied you. Yes, you're frustrated now. Yes, you're tired now. But can I tell you that the old folk was right? You got to hold on just a little while longer. You got to stay right there at the foot of the cross. Mama used to put it this way. At the cross, where I first saw the light. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm not trying to ignore you. I'm not trying to be snooty this morning, but I got to keep my eyes on the cross. I got to keep my eyes on Jesus, because can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody turn it around like Jesus. Can't nobody pick me up like Jesus. Can't nobody heal me like Jesus. Can't nobody restore me like Jesus. And I'm waiting on my day to come when my testimony will be that if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I know I wouldn't have made it. I lost my job, but I lost my mind. Didn't have the same money, didn't have the same friends, but one consistency in life. If the Lord remained the same, I want to ask somebody, hasn't God been true to you? Hasn't God remained the same? He'd been there through the bewitching hour. God was there when the doctors came in and the money went out. God was there. Am I right about it? I say God is my hope and my help. God is my strength and my joy. He's all that I need. You can have the house. You can have the car. But you can't have Jesus. Ain't God all right? I tried it for myself. And I made up my mind that Isaiah was right. They that wait upon the Lord shall. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you may not understand it, but I'm in my shall moment. I'm just going to stay right here just a little while longer. I'm going to hold on to God's unchanging hand, because God will, by and by, after a while, he will. Won't he do it? Can he do it? Can he do it? Won't he do it? Did he do it? Say yeah. Hold on. Stay there. Pray there. Lay there. Cry there. Sing there. But stay right there. Till your change come. No, it ain't easy. But you got an opportunity. God didn't give you an opportunity, he wouldn't be God. And he is God. So what? There are obstacles. Paul said this. He said, you know, I have an open door in front of me. But there are many obstacles. The adversary. Can I tell you a little church secret that not everybody knows?
your enemies help you far more than your friends ever will. Your failures teach you far more than success ever will. Your heartaches make you stronger than lap of luxury and the life of Riley ever will. Can I get you to do a quick test? We're going home. But those of you that have scars, you can find it without being inconvenienced or embarrassed. Just rub that area where that scar is. You'll notice that it's tougher. That skin is more resilient. And it's almost impervious to pain. That area where that scar is, you can poke it and it don't hurt no more. Your scars have made you strong. Next time the devil wants to pick at you, show him your scars. And remind him there's nothing you can do to me that won't work for my good. Because in advance, God saw this opportunity and knew that I was an overcomer. How do you know that, Pastor? Because the Bible says we are more than conquerors because we've overcome. Some of you are in a bad place right now, but you still ought to say yes. Some of you are frustrated. Looks like it's darker than it's ever been, but you still ought to say yes. Some of us don't know what we're going to do next, but can I tell you, God's got an answer. He still loves you. He's not going to leave you. He's going to lead you out. You're going to be all right. There's a couple of things you can do in the meantime and in between time. First thing you need to do is pray. You know what's ironic to me? When people get in trouble, they don't pray more. They pray less. I mean, I've heard people say, I just don't feel like praying any, and it don't seem like it's working. Are you serious? Pray without ceasing is not just some casual concern that we put before. No, that's a command that we might have the calluses of our lives as our testimony. And when they pray, second thing you can do is be poised. There's a commercial, Melvin, that runs. You say, never let them see you sweat. You got to be poised. That folk look at you and say, nah, I know good and well. She got laid off. I know he got fired. But look at him. Still standing, still praising God, still coming around the table, still serving. Got to be poised. And you don't have to fake it. It ought to be real. And then the third thing you ought to understand is while you're praying and being poised, got to be patient. I didn't get a whole lot of amen there, Deacon Campbell, but just got to be patient. Just wait on him. So most of us are impatient. Most of us can't last from 11 to 1. We're done. We got to go. You got to be patient. The next thing happens based on what you do right now. I can give but one amen. Stay with me. The next thing that God is going to do is based on what you're going to do right now. That's why Joseph could be trusted. He never messed up his now, so he got his next. Some of you keep messing up your now. which means you're messing up your next. See, you're throwing a temper tantrum now, and it's a small thing. And so God said, I can't bless you with the next big thing because you messed up the little thing. Look at the name, tell him, don't mess this up. Some of y'all sitting by people that you should have told that. Now you done called them and you to miss a blessing. See, I'm telling you, you got attitude about nothing. You ain't the only one get passed over. You're not the only one to get laid off. You're not the only one that somebody leave or break your heart. You ain't the first one that ever had a setback. When it comes to the dictionary of definitions, your name will be nowhere near anything because you wasn't first. You sitting around here whining, that's why I don't go to church no more because this, that, that, that's why I don't do this. That. I ain't going to never get married again. Jess, don't you say nothing. Don't say nothing. Because every time I mention marriage, you won't testify. Say nothing. But, you know, you can't give up on what God causes. You didn't write the master plan. You're just in the flow. And so you got to understand, you got to keep praying. You got to stay poised. Be patient. And here's why. Because perfection is the ultimate promise. Y'all missed that. How do you know that? Because the Bible says we will see him as he is. But you can't see him if you don't get there. Perfection is the. John said this. Beloved, it does not yet appear. Tell your neighbor, this ain't my best me yet. This. It does not yet appear what we shall be. But when? Tell your neighbor, that's when it's going to happen. When my win comes, yeah, my W-H-E-N leads to my W-I-N. Yeah. When he appears. Yes, sir. Until Shiloh comes, I'll make the necessary adjustments as required. But you won't catch me flaking out on my faith. I promised him that I engage in opportunities and overcoming obstacles. He loves you. He won't leave you. He's going to lead you out. Keep praying. Stay poised. Be patient. Because perfection is the ultimate promise. God going to make it right. Nudge your neighbor and say, you know what? I'm going to keep going. Amen. And you're sitting by somebody that couldn't testify like that, I'll start the sermon over. See if I can help them this time. I mean, it was simple, right here in front of you. Stuff happens. In every life. I wrote down this little note. We're going to be gone here, but I put this little note in here. This is not me bragging or anything, but I've never been fired. Now, I've never had the misfortune, I guess, of being unemployed for any length of time. I haven't been sick, seriously sick. I've had a couple of hernias, stuff like that. You know, that's me overdoing or whatever. But that doesn't give me any more of a praise testimony than the persons who have been fired or have had sickness. In fact, we ought to be praising equally together. Me, I'm praising God that you overcame. And you're probably praising God that I'm just not there yet. But I thought about it. I said, you know, the opportunities and the obstacles can oftentimes look the same. Think about it. The opportunities
and the obstacles can often look the same. Because sometimes, there is an equal amount of both in the same place. Okay, here it is. I know y'all wasn't going to get it. Calvary. It's an obstacle. But he turned it into an opportunity. Nobody ever liked crucifixion. Listen, until Jesus was crucified, crucifixion was very unpopular. But when he died and overcame, folks saw that different. That's why Paul said, I want to know what it's like to both do the crucifixion and the resurrection. They look the same. See, that's why you wear crosses now, looking all fancy and cute. But that was an obstacle. But he made it an opportunity. That's why he said, I got to go. They said, no, we can't go back there. They said, they're going to kill you. Jesus said, no man takes my life. I'm going to give it up. Because there's an opportunity that you all will be saved. If I don't do this, all of mankind is doomed. The doors of our church are open for Christian discipleship. For you to give your life to Christ. This is not just about you joining the church. God help us for making that mistake so many years. But this is about giving your life to Christ. You don't accept Jesus Christ. If you don't accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, whether it scares you or whether you believe in it or not, whether it matters to you or not, you're going to hell. You know, some folk ain't scared of that. I don't care when I'm dead, I'm dead. Okay, cool. But you're going to hell. Here's what you don't realize. Maybe they didn't read this to you in the fine print. Because there is an eternity in heaven, there's an eternity in hell. And just like folk in heaven will be singing and rejoicing forever, you're going to be in torment. Oh, I know. You sitting there. I feel some of you. It's coming to me through spiritual radar. I remember what difference does it make. Nobody knows whether it's true or not. I wouldn't bet against it. I found out the stove was hot just like most of the rest of us did. I had to put my hand up there. They told me it was hot. Grandma said, look at this. This is fire. And she walked out the kitchen one day. I turned on the little click, click, click thing, and then it went poof. And I said to myself, I can put my hand in and take my hand out. I thought I'd hokey pokey it. You know, put your hand in, take your hand out. It burned me. And when I screamed, she said, I knew it. How many of y'all got that I knew it? Just had to find out the hard way, didn't you? So you imagine being in hell, sticking your hand in, but not being able to pull your hand out. That's torment. I just want to help you today to make a better choice. Is it going to be easy? Nope. Some of us will meet you out back and tell you that our marriages go crazy. Our kids disappoint us. We get calls from 800 numbers. We get turned down. Our credit scores have not always been wonderful. Our back hurts. Our blood pressure goes up. Our knees don't work like they used to. We will tell you. But boy, I tell you what, we keep pressing. The me you see now, as I said in Christian Academy, we looked at each other and told one another, you know, this ain't the best me. This is a good version of me right now, but this ain't the best me. Because God is still working. But you can't quit. But you got to first give your life to Christ. You give your life to Christ, stuff still happens. Yes, it does. And in fact, Jesus said something, ministers, that had always disturbed me. He said, please understand that a lot of what people are going to do to you, a lot of what's going to happen to you is because of me. They killed Lazarus,
not murdered like killed, but he died. They sought after him because of Jesus. Read the Bible. The Bible says, and they decided, let's go get Lazarus because of Jesus. And some of you are testimonies that that's what happened. It seemed like when you got in the body of Christ, everything went crazy. But trust me, he loves you. He won't leave you. He's going to lead you out. If you're here today and you've not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you ought to do so now. If you need restoration or you desire to recommit your way to Christ in the church, you're looking for a church home and you decide you want to join the local church, this is your opportunity. While our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, in the name of Jesus, as you search the house, the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, just maybe today, Lord, there's one that wants to engage with you, that we would overcome. To him that overcometh, they get a crown. So, Lord, today we want to make our first installment of faith on our crown. We want to make our decision about you. Would you receive us today? Sons and daughters, husbands, wives, families, strangers, even those, Lord, who just happen to wander in. Would you receive us today? Your word declares that you will in no ways refuse us. God, I made it this far, but I'm not going another step without you. Please, Father, in the name of Jesus, save a son or daughter today. Save a spouse. Save a family. Somebody in this room today needs you, Lord. Well, Lord, everybody needs you. But there's one today that's special, one today that stands out among the many. For we've never called you Father. We've never called you Lord. They've never known a Savior. Save that one today. God, don't let them leave here because of pride. Concern about what people might say, what people will begin to know. No, nobody knows like you know. That brother, that sister, that young man, that daughter, that son needs a Savior. They need to find in you that resting place. They need relief from the storms of life. They need to move from being a victim to being the victor. They need to go from hurt to hallelujah. And Lord, only you can do it. Search the house, Father, in the presence and power of your Holy Spirit. You sent him to lead and guide us into all truth. So let someone know the truth today that Jesus saved. God, we thank you today. So now, God, we pray simple prayers of healing and restoration, deliverance. God, answer the prayers of your children. Somebody is looking for a job. Somebody's trying to catch up on the bills. Somebody's got to go back and get that CAT scan read. Somebody's got to change their medicine. Somebody's got to make a decision about the next phase of treatment. And God, somebody in here has no idea. It's already happening inside of us. We have no idea. And so God, for all of these, would you be a fence? Would you be a bridge? Would you be a healer? God, we need you right now. And God, we ask a special prayer today. This one beautiful lady who stands before this people not because of them, but because of you. Would you meet her in the place of her need? Would you grab her hand, whisper in her ear? Would you tell her how much you love her? Would you tell her that you'll never leave her? And would you tell her that you'll lead her out? Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus that even among the many, you still pay special attention to the one. God, still her heart. Steady her feet. Focus her gaze on you. And answer every prayer. When she says yes, God, would you do a new thing? Like only you can do. There's nobody like you. Nobody loves like you love. Nobody cares like you care. Nobody delivers like you deliver. Let your request be made known, daughter. Tell him what you desire. Trust the Lord in your faith, not in what you see. Forget about the old things, for they pass away. And God will make everything new. Because he's God. He doesn't God by committee. He doesn't God by opinion. He knows your heart. And every step you took today in faith, he will remember. An old song used to say, he will remember me. And so we trust to God today. He's an answer to every prayer. Solomon says this simply, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Can I tell you today that some of it ain't gonna never make no sense? Some of it will never be explained. The who, what, when, and where, and why. That's man's logic. God simply says, be faithful even unto death. And he will. He'll do it. He'll do it. You just hold on. Just like the writer declared. That weeping may endure for the night, but you'll get your joy. And don't wait on joy in earthly things. This is what the writer says. Nehemiah reminds us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Not the joy of money, not the joy of popularity. Some of the stuff y'all trying to find joy in ain't gonna never be found. The joy of the Lord. That's why they said, as long as I've got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. Me and God. The rest of y'all welcome to join us, but me and God. That's how we're going to bring this thing home. Me and the Lord. Going to stay together. Trust him, daughter. And don't you let nothing stand in your way. Paul says you got to press toward the mark of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus, because you are his own. You hang in there. Lift up your head. Lift up your gates. Lift up your countenance. Lift up your heart. Lift up the joy. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? Lord of hosts. The Lord strong and mighty. He is the King of glory. Something about his name.
Something about his name. Something about his name. If I can just say Jesus, I think I'll be all right. Here am I. I hear you, Lord. Father, thank you today for this daughter. Thank you for these. Now, God, would you grant us traveling mercies? We've got a little ways to go. We've got a little break in between. Thank you, God, today for continually healing and touching our brother. Thank you, God, today that you didn't turn your back on him. You didn't say no, you said yes. Doctors don't have all the answers. Technicians are reading the x-rays and the scans. But you cause all of it to work. Because you knew in advance. And so God, thank you today for all that you're doing. All that yet remains undone. For our brother. For our friend. And not only for him, but so many others. As we look around the room today, it is just good to be here. We're still alive. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, no matter what it is, you ain't dead yet. Just keep trusting in the Lord. God's on. Make it all right. Amen. God's going to make it all right. Amen. Father, we thank you so much. And God, we pray this simple prayer of departure today as we prepare ourselves to go out through these many doors. You put a hedge round about us and protect us. Again, bless our drivers. Bless those who desire to drive on their own and travel with family and friends. And even if, Lord, our destination is not Java for this afternoon celebration, send us out as testimonies. Send us out as lights. For we are lights. And God wants to use us. Teach us to love each other and forgive each other. Teach us, Lord, to help where we can help and not hinder where it is unnecessary to be so. Teach us, Lord, to fight the good fight of our faith. For victory is in Christ Jesus. And we honor your name by living as children of the light. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen. Amen and amen. Hug at least four or five folk. Say something nice to them and we'll see you again real soon. 145. Deacon Davis will smoke you on out of here. Amen.